The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. This evening we continue our Bringing America Back to Life series. Tonight we will feature a presentation from our 2023 convention. Our speakers' ideas will inspire you with principles, experiences, and wisdom as they join us to pave the way back to life through prayer, action, voting, and education. I am pleased to introduce Michael Voris, founder and president of St. Michael's Media and senior executive producer of Church Militant, a media enterprise established to address the severe erosion of the Catholic faith in the last 50 years. Before recommitting to the church, Michael had a distinguished career as a television news reporter, anchor, and producer, mainly with CBS News. He received 4 Emmy Awards for excellence in broadcast journalism. During the early years of St. Michael's Media, Michael received his Sacred Theology Baccalaureate from the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome. Michael has spoken at hundreds of national and international events in Australia, Europe, Africa, Canada, and the Philippines. Michael conveys the need for a steadfast defense and promotion of Catholic doctrine and truth wherever he goes, hoping to reinforce the faithful. While a hard-hitting Catholic apologist, his talk, Getting the God Thing Right, will encourage and enlighten you no matter your faith.
Well, hello everybody. How you doing? Love being at the Cleveland Right to Life. This is a tremendous group, and before I say anything, just want to say hats off to Molly, the whole crew here. Give them an enormous round of applause for this effort. It's one of the highlights of our year, Church Militant, to be able to come to this. So it's always a great pleasure to stand up here and talk to everybody. Molly's theme, she was very clear with me, as Molly is wont to be, said, you know, we're going to talk about be not afraid for this year's theme. I actually want to go a little step further. Not just be not afraid, but rejoice. It is a joy to fight for the truth of Almighty God. It's not just don't be afraid, it's rejoice. There is no greater thing you can do than walk right up to the gates of hell and challenge it. That's what our Lord said. He wasn't, you know, we have an offensive position here as believers in Jesus Christ. That offensive position, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. That's what that means. So don't worry about not being afraid. More than that, you should be fighting to get to the front of the line, to bash the gates down. So, it's kind of what I'm going to be talking about. Rejoice. You know, the middle, the root word there is what? Joy. How do you find your joy? You find your joy in the fight. It's not just, oh, well, I got to get us on. No. We, in this day and age, are working out our salvation. From all eternity, God created you and me knowing that the dumpster fire that we are in right now as the church and the world, that he would call us to be in this fight and extinguish that fire. So that's how you have to do your thinking. In the midst of all of this stuff, the horrible, you know, child killing that goes on, the amendment that's coming up on the Ohio ballot here in November, all of this, you should be overjoyed that our Lord created you for this moment. As St. Paul said, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. This is your moment. You are securing your eternal salvation, measured against the degree of your fight, and you're pushing into this fight. Lean into it, own it, take it, and bash down the gates of hell. That's what this is all about. That's how you get to heaven. St. Francis de Sales said that. The only way to get to heaven is to die fighting. So fight. Enjoy the fight. What did our Lord tell us? You know, blessed are you, and men revile you and curse you and speak all kinds of calumny against you. What's the next word? Rejoice, for your reward will be great in heaven. So don't be afraid. My gosh, be much more than not afraid. Pick it up and just take it to him. Punch him in the kisser. So there is you go ahead and applaud. It's all right. Mike, you're so violent. You're so controversial. You're so offensive. Well, let's talk about this offensive thing for a moment, shall we? Way too many Catholics, way too many Christians have this doormat mentality. Wrong!
Yeah, but Jesus said, turn the other cheek.
Do any of you know what that expression meant in the context of the time? So, the idea, if you'll notice, if you read that very closely, our Lord is extremely specific in what he says about turning the other cheek. Very specific. And he's specific for a reason, because the crowd he was speaking to understood the context of what it is. He doesn't just say, if somebody hits you, just, you know, let him hit you again. It's not what he says. He's very specific. He says, if somebody strikes you on the right cheek, offer them the other cheek as well. Why? Because in those days, in the biblical days, the right hand was seen as the hand that was used. That's why you have these constant references in the Old Testament to the right hand. The right hand of God, going to sit at the right hand of the power of God, right hand, right hand. The left hand, all you lefties out there, not political lefties, just southpaws, the left hand was seen as cursed. You sit at the power of the right hand. The right hand was the power. So, if you're looking at somebody and you strike them against the face with your right hand on their right cheek, there's only one way you can do that, and that's with a massive backhand. When you slap somebody with the back of your hand in those days, it was a sign that the person was inferior to you. So you would backhand somebody in the army, the Roman legions, who was beneath you. You would backhand a Jewish slave. You would backhand somebody. Doesn't matter. So now when our Lord says, when they hit you with their right, on your right cheek, because the left hand was never used, when they belt you across the face with that backhand, turn and offer them the other cheek as well. Why? Because if you offer them that, the left side, they have to hit you with the palm of their hand. And that was reserved for equals. So while they were regarding you as something inferior to them, you didn't, like, you know, go firebomb them or, you know, throw a Molotov cocktail inside the Praetorium. You just made a very quiet act of defiance and said, here's my other cheek. I'm equal to you. Yeah? There was fast forward if I can, about maybe 1780 years to a scene during the Reign of Terror in France. There were 14 Carmelite nuns that were at a convent in Campion, and two servants with them. And during the Reign of Terror, inspired by the Freemasons to destroy the church in France, these 14 nuns and their two servants were rounded up, and they were, there's actually a nice little backstory. You know, they were Catholic nuns, and the government, the French Revolution government, was stripping the church of all its power and, you know, beheading on the guillotine hundreds, thousands of priests and nuns all over the country. The Mother Superior had gone to the trial court, the assembly, and asked, because they were being tried for treason and all that, and she said, would you please add on to our list of crimes that we defend the church? And the guy did. Yay. So they round him up. They throw him in those carts. You know, you've probably seen him in movies, you know, the open things where you can throw tomatoes at them and all that stuff and everything. They haul him into one of the plazas in Paris. And she had said to, the Mother Superior had said to the nuns, and they all knew they were going to be beheaded. That was the whole point. There was no wondering about it. And she said to them, sisters, I have good news for you. We get to die for the Holy Catholic Church. So they brought him in the carts, and they lined him up by age at the foot of the steps, one line, and they each went up one by one. And to show you the defiance, I want to play to you what all 16 of them were singing one by one as they had their heads chopped off. That was an act of defiance against the anti-Catholic state of the French Revolutionary government. Now, why does all of this matter? Because you need to really, and so I'm saying, be joyful at the persecution. Be joyful in the fight. You are created with a dignity, because you are made in the image and likeness of God. And contain within yourself that inherent beauty. And no one can take that away from you. Offer them the other cheek, because they have no right to abuse you, to walk all over you, because you are a son or daughter of God, made in the image and likeness of God. As you're walking up to be beheaded, as you're walking up to have your head chopped off on the guillotine, you are singing a hymn from 1,000 years earlier, reaching back into antiquity to profess your faith, your embrace, your joy. That blade dropped, and they saw Jesus Christ. Rejoice, for your joy and reward will be great in heaven. This is the only approach the baptized can have to persecution. Otherwise, it's completely insane. Every one of those 14 sisters, including the Mother Superior and the two servants, they could have had themselves, they could have saved their lives like that. All they had to do is say, oh, no, I'm done. And they would have let them right out of the line. But they didn't. They were so happy and joyful, they sang to their deaths right to the moment the guillotine dropped on them. That Reign of Terror was inspired by a Freemasonic atheist, a philosopher by the name of Robespierre. when the last nun, which was the Mother Superior, had had her head chopped off, there wasn't a sound in the plaza the entire series of those executions, not one. That stood in deep contrast to what used to happen. People were throwing tomatoes at them and cheering and showing up for the morning ritual of the heads being chopped off and, you know, go have a cup of little coffee or whatever they used to have. And all that. That's what the normal scene was. Here, because of their magnificent testimony in death, the entire place, not a sound. And everybody went home. 10 days later, and they had offered their sacrifice, their sufferings up for an end to the reign of terror that had gone on at that point for about 5 years. 10 days later, the reign of terror came to an end, and the man, Robespierre, who had inspired and started the whole thing, himself met the guillotine and had his head chopped off. God's not mocked. God is never mocked. I give you these examples and things for you to meditate on, particularly during this Lent, to think about how close am I, how willing am I to sacrifice for the faith? Would I die for the faith? Would I happily die for my faith? Would I rush headlong into the lion's mouth? Well, I would if I knew he was hungry, because I don't want to hang back and be like the thing he's playing with and not really killing. So, there is a sense in the church among the faithful that things are hopeless and, oh my gosh, and what are we going to do? And, you know, maybe we shouldn't say anything. Maybe we should just do that. I would like to read you something, if I can, from about roughly 140 years ago, was written by Pope Leo XIII, who in my book should be a saint, but, you know, welcome to modernism. He said, and bear this in mind, to recoil before an enemy or to keep silence when from all sides such clamors are raised against truth is the part of a man either devoid of character or who entertains doubt as to the truth of what he professes to believe. Did you get all that? Want it again? To recoil before an enemy or to keep silence, when from all sides clamors are raised against truth is the part of a man either devoid of character or who entertains doubt as to the truth of what he professes to believe. You don't get to have doubt about your faith. Ever. You are never allowed to sit around and wonder about the truth. It has been guaranteed to you. Guaranteed. So when we think about the truth and how does this play out in our lives, well, how do we arrive at the truth? Getting the God thing right is the key to everything. It's the key to everything. I'm talking about politically, culturally, ultimately our own salvations, all of it. So if you start with the wrong philosophy, you're going to produce a perverted theology. A perverted theology leads to a bad morality, which leads to the collapse of a nation on earth, a civilization on earth, and damnation for the souls who followed it. So if you go back to the very first thing, you got to get the philosophy right. So there was, standing by this little river, a scorpion and a frog. And the scorpion says to the frog, I can't get across this river. The water's a little too rough. Can I hop on your back and give me a ride? And the frog is like, why would I do that? You're going to sting me and kill me, and we'll both die. And scorpion's like, why would I do that? I don't want to die. We would both die. So the frog, convinced, says, okay, hop on. And about halfway across the river, and the scorpion goes, psst, And the frog's like, why did you do that? Now we're both going to die. And the answer that the scorpion gave, it's my nature. Understand that what is at risk here is a complete overturning of the natural moral law. Abortion is not wrong because the Catholic Church teaches it's wrong. Gay marriage isn't wrong because the Catholic Church teaches it's wrong. Robbing a bank, name any sin you want, name any commandment you want, name anything you want. Those aren't wrong because the Catholic Church teaches they're wrong. They're wrong because they are violations of the natural moral law instituted by God Himself, that a thing operates according to its nature. So sodomy is not wrong because the church teaches it's wrong. It's wrong because it violates the natural law. Contraception is not wrong because the church teaches it's wrong. It's wrong because it violates nature. Even the word is in there, contra, against. We are in the condition that we are in as a nation and a country, as a people, as a civilization, because we just said, I don't care about the natural moral law. The philosophy is wrong. And that's where all of this started. The attack on the very foundation of truth and logic, the philosophical underpinnings of truth, the natural moral law. What is the natural moral law? It's that the natures we were created with by God owe a certain relationship, how we treat ourselves and each other, because our destiny is God. As St. Augustine told us 1,600 years ago, our hearts are restless, O Lord, and they shall never find rest until they rest in Thee. So our destiny is God. And because of that, our natures must are given to us to move towards God. However, we have that nasty little thing, thanks ladies, Eve, about fallen human nature. Normally I get a few tomatoes when I say that, but
I used to like him.
there's a, now our natures have the ability, and more than that, the desire to choose evil. And how we merit salvation is how we conquer our nature, fallen nature. We have within ourselves the capacity to choose God, to move toward God. That is sort of the foundational nature that we have. But having spoiled it with sin and selfishness and all of that, we also have the ability to turn away from God. So this nature of ours is programmed for God, but has this appetite for sin. Nobody goes and commits a sin of any kind and doesn't get something out of it. You might even be troubled while you're doing the sin, but you do it anyway. Talk about a mess. Talk about the dumpster fire in the church, about the dumpster fire inside each of us. This constant war, this civil war between what we are created for and what we lust after at any given moment in our lives. What has happened in Western civilization is that we have gotten rid of the notion of natural moral law. And we've supplanted that understanding with an idea of, rights and freedom and liberty, and that have no relationship to our actual natures. I think the two groups that are running the kill every child you can get your hands on and up to high school or whatever it is here in Ohio, the ballot, one of them's got the name freedom in their group name and the other one has rights. You don't have a right to do something against nature. You have the freedom in the sense that you have the choice, but you don't have the freedom without a consequence to choose the wrong, to error. When Nancy Pelosi, yeah, you can all boo, when Nancy Pelosi made the made the comment it was a few months ago while they were, you know, before she had to hand over the gavel, she made a comment that about abortion, that God has given us the freedom to choose, and that is paramount. And to say somebody shouldn't choose this or shouldn't choose that violates Catholic teaching. There is a such lunacy in that. And why does she get to say that? Because there's no understanding anymore that there's a natural moral law based on the fact that we are made in the image and likeness of God. That is the starting point. Some of you may know that, speaking of rejoice and be glad, your reward will be great in heaven, that Church Militant had the honor of being distinguished by the FBI recently. actually named in their report for being Christian nationalists. You bet! You bet, Merrick Garland, absolutely. And somebody, a newspaper guy, a few did, but one in particular called me and said, you did an interview, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah. He goes, what is Christian nationalism? Well, I said, it's based on the natural moral law that every one of us is made, even Nancy Pelosi, is made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. And that confers a certain dignity on the person. Even the angels aren't made in the image and likeness of God. God didn't become an angel. He became a human being. That's why, by the way, right now the angels are above us. But in heaven, we will go above them. So stay friendly with your guardian angel. Talk to him often. Ask for his help and then tell him once you get up there, you know, he can bring you stuff. So, and he'll gladly do it. There is a this whole sense of the blowing up of natural moral law. See, this has always been about religion. It's always been about religion. Oh gosh, he's getting into that uncomfortable area. It has always been about religion because religion, injustice, worship is owed to Almighty God. And we don't get to determine what the worship is. God has commanded how the worship will be. Just as he did with the Old Testament, he did in the New. He took all the foreshadowings of the Old Testament and fulfilled them in his person in the New Testament. So there's only one right way to worship God. And therefore, there is only one right religion. Catholicism didn't invent natural moral law. God created it and made it the guideposts for our interactions with each other, ourselves and each other, and ultimately Him. It is the nature of man, what it does to worship God. Is there a fallen nature aspect of freedom where you can reject that? Sure. But that doesn't mean that the obligation is removed. It just means you choose to ignore it till you die. So the idea that natural moral law doesn't have any real grounding in this, that religion doesn't have any grounding in this, let me present to you for evidence of this, of just how horribly the followers of our blessed Lord understand this and how perfectly the demonic understands it. You guys remember during Amy Coney's, not Supreme Court hearing, but the Sixth Circuit Court hearings? Do you remember when Dianne Feinstein was going after her? What did she say? Ooh, I think the dogma lives loudly in you. Shut up. The dogma lives loudly in you too, but you suppress it. This is why during the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, all the Catholic stuff started. Because those demonically controlled senators on the left, including some Republicans, understand where they understand the entire picture. It's clear as a bell to them. It always is. That's why they went after her on went after Amy during the Supreme Court nominations. What's this Catholic group you belong to? What's this charismatic thing? What's this people of praise? How are you about contraception? Followers of Christ are scratching their heads going, what's she talking about contraception for? But the diabolical understands the connection. Isn't it a pity? It's actually a great embarrassment that the left gets the big picture, the supernatural picture. They get it, and so many of ours don't. They have to protect the corruption, the left, the communists, the anti-God forces, the diabolical, the demonic. They have to go after nature, the natural moral law, because those are the guideposts that keep you bound for salvation. And they will blow them up every chance they get. Four-year-olds slipping money into G-strings of drag queen dancers, reading filth in public libraries, trying to destroy the calling of God to them. We don't argue about abortion because, well, this state law has to do that. It may play out in some circumstances like that, but we argue against it, all of us, because it violates the natural moral law. On one level, the keep your rosaries off my ovaries sign is completely off base. And on the other one, it gets straight to the heart of the matter. Catholicism preaches the natural moral law, which is the basis for all of our relationships with God, neighbor, and self. It is the foundational, philosophical understanding of how the entire universe operates. There's natural law. Somebody can say, oh, you know, I don't believe in natural law. I'm going to go walk off that cliff and defy the natural law of gravity. Watch this. No, you didn't actually defy it. You proved it. Well, the same is true in the moral realm as well. Nature itself, the animals and trees and all that stuff, I mean, it doesn't have a morality to it in the sense that we do, but we have a morality to us. Nature interacts with itself and it follows the laws. The laws, the order of the universe, the logos. Remember, the universe was created by the Father for the Son. That's why the Son comes and redeems it and brings it all back to the Father. This little tiny blue marble we're on floating around out here, this was made for the Son so that he could bring it back to the Father. It's his dwelling place. Behold, I make all things new. So there is this beautiful relationship of how nature works. And nature obeys its own laws, follows them. But when it comes to the moral, natural moral law, oh, now we start to see some slippage. The church preaches the natural moral law. It doesn't create it. And there can be no departure from what Catholicism preaches with regard to the natural moral law because it comes from God. So when you hear this argument on the left that this is a, you know, keep your religion out of things, separation of church and state, blah, 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 blah. They obviously haven't heard about the bishops taking $500 million a year. But anyway, sorry, I got to slip one of those in every now and then. There's a sort of a false dichotomy set up here. It's an untruth that on the one hand, there's the don't have anything to do with religion, but on the very bottom of this, it is exactly about religion. It's about religions expressing a greater truth even beyond themselves. And if there is a departure from the natural moral law, which, sorry if somebody's offended here, but Protestantism is a heresy, and it walked away from the natural moral law on the question of contraception. And you have 65 million dead children in the United States because of that departure from natural moral law. And to the degree that the Catholic hierarchy walked away from preaching the truth, you have 65 million dead babies in America because of it. There's plenty of blame to go around. There is no truth without an appeal to truth itself. Capital T truth, the person of Christ. And I'll take you back to those hearings in the Senate for the Supreme Court seats. The left understands that because the left is controlled by the demonic. And the demonic is much smarter than anyone in this room, than anyone on our side. It is only being in a state of grace that you become something of their equal. And they hammer you. And they come after you at every turn. There's a reason why that FBI report dossier that was created talked about Catholicism. How many of you here are aware of that report? Well, you need to catch up, folks. For the half of you or so that didn't raise your hands, you need to pay attention to this stuff. Do you understand they're coming after you? This isn't a game of politics. This is a game to completely eliminate you from society. Do you understand this? Do you understand the stakes of what you're in? That's why I started the talk talking about martyrs. They want you dead. They want you dead and eradicated from society. They want you gone. You never hear the U.S. Senate or some committee hearing or whatever saying, tell me about your Hinduism. Tell me about your Islam. Tell me about your Presbyterianism. Because the demonic doesn't care about that. Demonic cares about the church established by Jesus Christ and its followers because he knows that only that church has the ability to overthrow his kingdom. So he comes after that church and those believers. How many of you here that are Catholic attend, at least at some point, some usual way, the Latin Mass? Okay, you are the ones, the FBI says, are domestic terrorists. Not Methodists, not Baptists, not Episcopalians, Catholics. Why? Because the demonic that controls them understands the power of a faithful Catholic. Our blessed Lord himself told you, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You don't think Satan doesn't know that? Of course he does. That's why he tries to tear the church to pieces. We're still here. We're still here. And we will be till the end of time, not because of us, but because our Lord sent his Holy Spirit and said, I will be with you all days, even to the consummation of the world, because you are my church. This places an enormous responsibility on us. An enormous responsibility. If you're baptized, if you're in a state of grace, to whom much, you can't ask for anything more on this earth. You get to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You get to have the DNA of Almighty God, the body that walked out of that tomb, coursing through your veins in preparation for the resurrection. To whom much has been given, much will be demanded. You have an obligation. We all have an obligation based on the great gift that we have been given to save the world and to die to ourselves and perhaps our bodies to bring about the salvation of others. You don't get to sit around and get involved in all these crazy little discussions and all this. Your obligation is to save the world. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Mother Angelica used to say, if you haven't whipped up any enemies, you ain't making heaven. Love Mother Angelica. We named our control room at the studio after her. She rocks. Can you say that about a saint? She rocks? No, I guess not. My father, God rest his soul, used to say to me, Michael, when you die, our blessed Lord is not going to say, show me a list of your friends. He's going to say, show me a list of your enemies. And you better have the right names on that list. For some reason, and I am pleading with you, get out of this silly, I have to be meek and be a doormat. You are commanded by Almighty God incarnate to attack the gates of hell. Why are you hesitating? Why do you care about your golf game when the world is burning to the ground? Who cares about your hobbies? You going to take your postage stamp collection with you to your final judgment? You have an obligation before God and yourself and all of the saints who've died as martyrs before you. You have an obligation to get out and fight against that demonic, horrible, evil proposition. Ballot initiative here in Ohio. You don't get to decide if you're going to fight that. You must fight it because it's from hell. You have to take stock. Do you realize we're coming to an end here? Do you realize this? I don't know if it's the end of the world or the end of a civilization, but an end is upon us. How many of you here are 60 or older? Okay, so about half-ish more. You know, I mean, I'm 61. You know what has happened to this country. You know what has happened to the church. I was hanging out with a couple of younger guys at the studio sometime last week, and I said, you guys just don't have any conception of how everything has changed. You just don't get it. Rips my heart out. Every single institution that I grew up with, and you all over 60 or so grew up with also, every single institution completely given over to the diabolical. The U.S. government, the courts, politics, media, for me personally, Notre Dame, America, all of it, gone! What have you done? What have you done to stand up and defend against that evil? You know, you're going to be asked that at your judgment. How did you love your neighbor?
Well, I didn't want to upset my mother-in-law at Thanksgiving. Shut up. Now's not the time. How much time do you think you have left?
Understand that your salvation is tied to what you do. Your actions matter. Written all over Scripture. You don't just accept Jesus and waltz into heaven. I will judge you by your deeds. When the Son of Man returns, he will send out his angels, and they will gather all the nations before them, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will turn to those on his right and he will judge them and take them to heaven because of what they did. And those who go to hell will go to hell because of what they did not do. Do not be caught in this trap that there's some sort of little gentle, meek way of being stepped all over and somehow that's doing God's will. That is not doing God's will. You've been conditioned by the diabolical in the culture to shut up. Go to your parishes and your churches till the FBI rolls in. You have a charge to make your faith known and to use it to whatever degree you are able to in your own individual circumstances in life, and to die for it if you have to. I'll read you another one remaining quote here. This was written by a 19th century Catholic philosopher and scientist. Catholicism is the law of life, the life of intelligence, the solution of all problems. Catholicism is the truth, and everything that departs from it one iota is disorder, deception, and error. There aren't multiple truths. There aren't multiple theologies. There aren't multiple philosophies. There aren't multiple moral codes. And quite literally, there are not multiple hells. You have an opportunity here in Ohio this 6 months more to go or whatever it is, whatever the timeline is, till November. You have an opportunity to lay yourself out for the defense not just of children, but of truth. Truth. And ultimately, that means Jesus Christ himself. It's not just a truth concept. It's expressed conceptually in various circumstances. But ultimately, it's to say, I loved you so much, Jesus, that I was willing to die for you, at least to myself. And perhaps somewhere down the road in the not too distant future, die in the body to you as well. You know, those nuns, the sisters singing the Veni Creator Spiritus, did not come to that point all of a sudden. They lived their lives preparing to die. They had already died to themselves, so at that point, who cares if your head's attached to you or not? They walked up those gallows, the steps to the guillotine, singing as they were being locked into place. The one being locked into place. Imagine whoosh, the blade drops while she's singing. Our Lord receives them one by one, and he restores their voice to them to sing with him in his praises in eternity. They're probably still singing. If you don't look at the great battle we have here in the correct terms, you will lose it. We will all lose it. I'm not talking about the referendum. I'm talking about your salvation. You have to march out of this convention absolutely committed to the truth, to whatever the cost is, you have to pay for it. Your own personal crosses, which we all have, and then embracing the great cross of this struggle for truth, for natural moral law. That is what's at stake here. You can't save the world if you aren't working on saving yourself. One of the most basic philosophical principles that exists, you cannot give what you do not have. So if it's not important enough for you to save your own soul, to participate with those graces that are given you, to merit your own salvation, how on earth do you think doing battle with the demonic on its territory is somehow going to turn into a victory, translate into a win. Are you kidding? No human can defeat the demonic. A human invested with the Blessed Trinity is what defeats the demonic. This is our charge. This is it. I know I don't really speak directly, so I'm sorry for that if you're somewhat confused over what I was saying. But this is what we need. This is how we need to live. Every day, every way, every person, everybody we come into contact with, you don't get to let a soul remain unchallenged if that soul has violated or is in violation of the natural moral law. You can't control that soul, but you can control approaching that soul. Forget about your own reputation. Forget about your own money. Forget about all of it. None of it will go to the grave with you, and we're all going to the grave. The only thing that will go to your grave with you is your will. Was your will directed 100% to our blessed Lord and His Holy Catholic Church, or was it somehow mitigated and you were holding a little bit back for yourself? Uh-uh. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that and say, oh, I want to go, I love you, Jesus. No, you actually don't. You love an imaginary Jesus. You love one of your own comfort, one that doesn't challenge you, like on The Chosen. Carrying the cross is your only way to heaven. This is it. Carry that cross and rejoice, for your reward will be great in heaven. God love you all.
Michael Voris. Come on, folks. Okay, we are going to dive right into the questions. Some of them are way too deep to get really Michael Voris answers. We might need the abbreviated versions to get through a few of these while we can, but let's do this. I think everybody here was wondering this one. The card reads, what was the translation of what those French nuns were singing?
Veni Creator Spiritus. It was a hymn written in the 9th century, actually by a German musician. It's a Come Holy Spirit. It's the actual prayer that the cardinals sing when they go into the conclave to elect the Pope as well.
Wow, wonderful. There you go. One more time, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Voris.
You've been listening to Michael Voris, founder and president of St. Michael's Media and senior executive producer of Church Militant and 2023 presenter at the Bringing America Back to Life convention.
From the Median is listener supported. Visit our website, fromthemedian.org, for further information or to make a donation to continue to make this radio program possible. Email us, radionews@fromthemedian.org, or call 440-668-4049. Through our fromthemedian.org website, you can download this or previous programs for your listening pleasure or sign up to receive our weekly preview of upcoming guest interviews. Tune in every weeknight at the same time to listen to another great interview on From the Median as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life.
This program has been sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.